says. So Abraham's name means father of multitude. Sarai's name, changed to Sarah, means princess. So talked a little bit about the importance of names last week and how awesome it is that God the Father comes down and renames these people. It's like a reset button, if you will, on their lives. And it's a reset button with a promise, because Abraham, not only is he given a covenantal promise by God, but now he's given a new name, and that new name confirms the covenant. That new name is Father of Multitude. And now for Sarah, the same thing. Her new name confirms the covenant, and she becomes princess. And so as we go forward, we get to verse 17. I'm going to pick up in verse 15 so we can get the context. And this again is God calling and speaking here. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Just one interesting thing. He had given this covenant and told Abraham that you would be the father of many, the father of a multitude. But now he's narrowing down that covenantal promise and saying specifically probably what they thought but were unsure of, that Sarah will be the mother of your children. I will bless her, and I will give you a son by her. Mm-hmm. Remember, they had tried to do this through another, through a surrogate, Hagar. And probably for a while, Abraham may have been thinking or pondering whether Ishmael was the son of the promise. But now he's conclusively given by God that Sarah will be the one who gives him a son. And she'll become nations, and kings and people will come from her. And then verse 17 says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed." We talked about this a little bit. "And he said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child?" We said that J. Vernon McGee, and we said this last week, believes that the laughter came from joy. It wasn't skeptical laughter at this point. It doesn't look like. It was probably joyful laughter. He experienced awe and worship earlier on. In verse 3, when God came, Abraham, and confirmed the promise. In chapter 17, verse 3, Abraham fell on his face. And that's just a sign of reverence, a sign of awe, and a sign of worship. So he goes from that awe and worship, that experience of worship, to now he continues to receive the promise from God. And he turns that awe and reverence into laughter. And we think it's laughter because he's excited, he's joyful. Not because he's skeptical.
Right. Even though the next two questions
do make it sound like you got. I think it's more of a, I can't believe this, you got to be kidding me. But maybe. Let's say,
you know, kind of a laughter of just how small man's mind is.
Uh huh.
That's what he's laughing about?
We're all speculating, but it's just, you know, just kind of, golly, how little of me to, you know, then I don't understand it and I'm laughing at myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's conflicting commentaries on the nature of his laughter. I mean, my ESV study Bible says that he thought that it would be highly improbable for him to be able to have children at this old age. J. Vernon McGee's point is that he was in reverence earlier. And staying in that attitude of reverence, he would be believing and faithful that God could do this. So we're not 100% sure what his attitude was. But then in verse 17, he fell on his face again, just like in verse 3, in that reverence, in that awe. Look at verse 18. "And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Verse 19, God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I shall make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." So, verse 18, when he says, "Oh, that Isaac would be able, oh, I'm sorry, if only Ishmael were acceptable to you, another translation, if he was acceptable to you.
And what does 19 say? Because mine is way different.
Read your 19.
Yeah.
Read, what does the first word that God says?
Nope. God said no.
Okay, stop. Mine says yes.
Yes.
That's a significant different term.
Interesting. In verse 19.
Then God said yes, but you're, because he says, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Under your blessing, not a question.
Uh-huh.
Then God said yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son.
Interesting.
That is tremendous.
I know, when you said that, I was like,
yours is only if Ishmael could live under your blessing.
Yes.
Okay, and ours, mine, is if only Ishmael could live in your presence.
Yeah.
So there would be a difference, and he uses the word but after he says
He says yes, but.
He goes yes, but. Ours just says
so
no,
what he says.
Period. Your wife, Sarah. So it's kind of like.
But still, that's a pretty different.
It is. So here's what mine. Yeah, so let's go back to 18. If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. So, if only Ishmael.
Which version of the Quran are you?
Might
from?
Live before you. You guys are reading NIV, right?
Yeah. I said, so.
Is that
so
right?
Basically says, is Ishmael going to live under your blessing? And God says yes.
One true verse.
God is going to live. I mean, Ishmael is going to live under your blessing.
Jewish Bible.
Yes.
And it says,
wait, who's a commentary?
God answered no.
Do you guys have a translation note at the bottom of your Bible? Because you probably do.
No, mine goes from 1717 to 1720. And it says 1719 is very difficult, and we're going to be silent on it. No, it doesn't say that. 1719 in there.
You need to write down Bill's commentary.
Please don't. It'll confuse everyone.
That's very interesting.
That is.
I'm trying to read
It's still the
ESV study.
The meaning is still the same.
It's still the same.
Well, but is it?
Because
this
says
that God, Ishmael is going to be live under God's blessing. That's what mine says.
But that's what he says.
But he finishes saying that afterwards.
He's going to be a ruler of nations. He will be blessed. But he's not.
Tribal leaders. So.
Interesting.
It is yes, but there's a but.
Okay,
in your Bible.
So what does 20 say? Because it says,
well, hang on,
let me throw
something else into the mix here. Because Abraham says, will a son be born to me? Will Sarah have a child? Then God says, yes, but.
Yeah.
So it could be, the yes could be an answer to, yes, you will
it
have a
It could be
son.
An answer to the previous question.
Exactly.
What does your 20 say, Mark? Mm-hmm.
My 20 says, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. So he will bless him.
So yours is right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Up getting it right, I guess. Well, I did not catch that, so I apologize for that translation difference.
Verse 19 starts out. What?
I'm reading ESV and Home and Christian, and neither one of them say yes. They say
what? Dennis, what version do you have for the message?
You got to read the message to us. What does the message say?
He's smiling really big, too.
It says, but God said, that's not what I mean.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's not what I mean.
That's why he's over there smiling really big.
Young's literal translation of the Bible says, and God said to Abraham, Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, is certainly bearing a son to thee. So he doesn't
say yes or no.
Doesn't say yes or no. Therein lies the issue.
He doesn't address the issue of whether or not Ishmael should continue to live before God.
Yeah, it probably all depends on which question he's answering and how he's answering that.
But 20
is
pretty clear.
The point is, there's two points. The first point is Sarah's son is going to be the son of the covenant.
Right.
But Ishmael is still going to be blessed. And he says in verse 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. So the reason, why do you think Abraham is asking for favor to be upon Ishmael?
His only son.
It's also his son.
It's still his son. I think it's all about just, hey, he's still my son.
Well,
you know,
one and only.
What are you going to do with him, right? What are you going to bless him? Is he going to be tossed to the side? What's,
yeah.
what's going on with yeah. that, you know? If only he could be. I mean, he's the tangible person yeah. that's in front of Abraham right now.
The
bird in the hand.
And it is his son.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's...
Sure
knows
him.
How things are going to unfold. This is my son.
And yeah. I mean, we
I don't
want
to kick him aside.
All of us have multiple children. We love them all.
Yeah.
Some more than others. Yeah. Generally speaking, that's true.
The Holman Christian Study Bible note for verse 19 says that, undaunted by Abraham's well-intended suggestion regarding Ishmael, well-intended suggestion, God reaffirms that Sarah would bear him a son who appropriately would be named Isaac. He laughs. With Isaac, God would confirm an everlasting covenant, the Abrahamic covenant that would continue with future offspring. Lesser promises were made for Ishmael, though no covenant would be established with him. God would bless Ishmael, enabling him to fulfill humanity's basic command to be fruitful and multiply. No kings were promised in Ishmael's lineage, but from him would come 12 tribal leaders. And his offspring would become a great nation. Hmm. And those tribal leaders are mentioned later on in Genesis chapter
25 verses
13 to 16.
25 what?
Verse
13, starting in verse 12.
You can say 12 to 16 in okay. chapter 25.
Okay.
And so they're the generations of that follow Ishmael.
Well, that's
good business.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And the note in chapter 25 is that these chieftains are tribes in Arabia. Huh. The 12 princes that are promised to Ishmael. So, the Lord's final statement here in verse 19, I will confirm my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his future offspring. And so he names a child that hasn't even been conceived yet. You shall call his name Isaac. He names a child that hasn't been conceived yet. He confirms a binding relationship between God and that son. And then he sets a date when the boy would be born to a 90-year-old Sarah. So then God then withdraws from Abraham. Look at verse 22. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham, or another translation would be, he ascended above Abraham, or he withdrew from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house, or bought with his money, every male among them of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh. We're getting all the way back to earlier in the chapter. Of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to them. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he is circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and that very day Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, in case you didn't catch that. And all the men of his house, and those born in the house, and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So there's a confirmation of the covenant. And there's a confirmation that Sarah is going to be the mother of Isaac, who will be the son of the covenant. And so this is echoing everything that's been said since the beginning of the covenant, since chapter 17, verse 7. It clarifies the eternal covenant, that it's going to be established with Isaac and not Ishmael. And then it also kind of clarifies the fate of Ishmael, too. He's going to be a part of your household because of the circumcision. He's going to be a father. He's going to multiply greatly. He's going to be a father of many nations. Remember, there was also other promises about Isaac. You guys remember from chapter 16? God tells Hagar that her son will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. That's in chapter 16, verse 12.